Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Friends, we're going to spend a few moments today studying God's Word. So if you brought your Bibles with you today, or if you have the app on your phone, or if you'd like a hard copy of God's Word, there are a few over by the Welcome Center there. You're welcome to grab one of those. And turn with me in those Bibles as we read and study together today to a passage that's found quite a ways into your Bibles, near the end of the Bible. 1 Peter is a small book near the end of the New Testament. And if you're going there, you'll find a bigger book called Hebrews. Keep going. You'll find a book called James. Keep going. You'll find 1 Peter right before 2 Peter and 1, 2, 3 John. So find 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. And I would invite you to have this passage open as we read and as we study it together this morning. Here at Westview, we've just been naming that we're in a season that is filled with lots of things, all the things, right? We have presents to buy. We have parties to attend. We've got family traditions to adhere to. And, of course, we have programs as a part of this, right? And it all becomes so much. And what we often will say, right, that old song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is certainly also the most hectic time of the year. Anybody feel that way? And then you add on top of that, in the church, we have this season that we're in called Advent. And there's a spiritual journey that we undertake in Advent, a season in which we are yearning and longing for something that has been promised to come but is not here yet. And we're living in the now. And we so desperately want what will be. And so we're longing for it. We're yearning for it. And we know it's going to be so good. And so it's not only longing and yearning, but it's also a season of anticipation and expectation and hope. And all of that is a part of this season right now. And it is a lot. And so here at Westview, what we've wanted to do is we don't want to lose what Christmas is all about amidst all of those things. And so what we've been doing here at Westview is we've been allowing the candles of the Advent wreath, which each have a theme, we're allowing that to guide us through this season so that we can hone in on what we're calling the heart of Christmas. And we've said so far that the heart of Christmas is hope for us. And last week we said that the heart of Christmas is peace between us. And today we're going to name that the heart of Christmas is joy within us. So before we study this passage and talk about that together, would you please pray with me? Lord, we would pray at this moment a prayer of thanksgiving for this moment itself, that there is time and space for us to come before your holy word and read it and study it, talk about it, allow it to shape and continue to mold us into who you are calling us to be. Lord, we know that we can be ever so prepared and we can be sitting so still and paying attention so well, but we also know, God, that nothing's going to happen unless it is by the power and the working of your Spirit. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, bless this time, bless this moment, do your work in and through us at this time. Reveal what you would have for each one of us at this time. And then, Holy Spirit, allow us to live forth in this season filled with a focus on what this is all about, the heart of Christmas. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hannah, would you please come and read our scripture passage for us this morning?
First Peter 1, 3 through 9 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, the greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Hannah, for reading our scripture passage for us this morning. There's a phrase there that Hannah read right at the end that says, filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. Isn't that a most fantastic phrase? I mean, there's so much power and wonder and majesty and amazement in just those four words, inexpressible and glorious joy. Would you say those words with me, please? Inexpressible and glorious joy. Good. What brings you inexpressible and glorious joy? What I want to invite you to do this morning is to check out the screen here in just a moment and watch this video. The first time through this video, I want you just to take in what happens, okay? The only thing I'm going to do to set it up is to say that there's about, I don't know, 7-8 seconds left in the third quarter, all right? So draw your attention to the screen. Check this out.
Good job, Tyler.
Pretty cool, huh? That was a video from last January or February or so. Josiah was playing 8th grade basketball for Waukee. Now, Josiah's game is one of rebounding and physical defense down low. He is 1-for-1 in his career in three-pointers. And you just saw it. Now, what I want you to do is we're gonna show just the last part of that video, and our tech wizard this week slowed it down in slow-mo. And what I want you to do this time, now that you've seen it, is I want to draw your attention. Look at the boys on the bench, and then look at the boys behind the bench on the bleachers. All right, so check it out in slow-mo this time. Let's run this. Now wait for it. He's going to jump into the coach right here. Yes, right? Pure joy, yes? Pure joy and a proud dad moment for sure. And as great as that moment is, right? As great as that is, and it's personal for us since it's our family, I'm not sure that even that can top what I want to show you next. Now, some of you have maybe seen this before. You maybe haven't seen it from this angle before. But what I want to invite you to do as you watch this video, I want to invite you just to listen. Listen to the crowd. I don't think you're going to miss it, but listen to the crowd, and then at the very end, look into the stands. All right, let's run the last video this morning. chills, right? Woo! Even watching that now, again, it's just, oh, I can feel it, right? It's just that freight train rush as the crowd explodes, right? When Diggs catches the ball and he turns and there's nothing but green grass between him and the end zone. And it's just this seismic rush of what? Of inexpressible and glorious joy. What brings you inexpressible and glorious joy? Maybe it was getting that first hole-in-one. Anybody ever gotten a hole-in-one? I have to put my hand down because I have not gotten one yet. Right? Some of you, you got one? Oh, Liz, you got one. Inexpressible and glorious joy when you saw that ball fall in the cup, yes? Yes, awesome. We got one. All right. Maybe it was making the state tournament. Maybe it is mastering that solo in the band competition and getting a superior rating. Or perhaps it's when you walk across the stage and you put a firm grip upon that hard-earned diploma. Or maybe it was that moment when he got down on one knee with a beautiful ring. Or maybe it was when you held that newborn for the first time. Or maybe it was your salvation. That's what Peter offers here to the earliest readers of this letter. Because that's what they've got. That's what they're holding on to. When Peter wrote this letter here, the Roman tolerance for the Christian faith was quickly waning. The Christians were seen as a threat to the stability of the empire. And so Christians were facing discrimination and violence and arrest and confiscation of property. And for them, these Christians, their faith was beginning to wane. Some of them were beginning to wonder, could we even hold out any longer? And even Peter himself had to endure his own fair share of suffering. These are hard and turbulent and trying times at hand. And what Peter is saying here in this letter, he's saying, hold on. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to what you know. Hold on to what you believe in. Hold on to the gift that God the Father has given to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hold on to the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He's saying, hold on to that which fills you with inexpressible and glorious joy. Earlier, he says these words, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. What is Peter referring to when he says, in this? What's the in this? Well, the in this is the catalyst for everything that prompts Peter's praise, right? Praise the God and Father, right? In this is everything that Hannah just read. In fact, I love it in her version, in her translation, it said, in all this you greatly rejoice. But this can be summarized into just one term. The in this is God's great mercy. God's mercy. Mercy that he has shown to the earliest recipients of this letter, and mercy that he has shown to you and to me in the past. Mercy that God has given to us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Mercy that has spared us from the effects of our sins. See, our once there was death was going to be our destiny. But God, in his great mercy, has given us new birth. New birth, that's new life. That's life where there was once death. A new destiny that is made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter says, which we know that resurrection followed the death of Jesus Christ, which we know followed the life of Jesus Christ, which we know followed the coming of Jesus Christ that we celebrate in this season. All of this from God's mercy that he has given mercy in the past. In this you greatly rejoice. But the "in this" is not just a mercy in the past. The "in this" is also God's great mercy for the future. A new birth into a living hope. A living hope of something that is yet to come. An inheritance, Peter says, that will never perish or spoil or fade away. That by God's mercy shown to us through Jesus, there is something that awaits for us. There is a gift that is waiting to be unwrapped. Now, it's not going to happen on December 25. It's going to be unwrapped when we come into the glories of heaven. Peter is saying that there is a gift for us. That gift is like an inheritance like a gift, an heirloom that is passed down from God to you and to me, to those who have received the mercy in Jesus Christ. And this gift is an eternity with God in the glories of heaven. And Peter says this gift will not perish. It's not corruptible. It's a gift that will not spoil. It is not something that's going to be defiled. He says this gift will not fade. It is permanent. And that's why Peter here can write with such confidence about the future. He says there's something more to come in the future. He says there's going to be the coming of salvation. It's going to be ready to be revealed. Mercy in the future. In God's great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. And Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now the "in this" not only means mercy in the past, new birth. And it does not only just means mercy for the future, a living hope. But it's also a mercy for right now in this present moment. Because right now in this moment, that gift is kept safe. No matter what life is throwing at us, right? For Peter's earliest readers here, they are on the receiving end of discrimination and violence and injustice. And Peter is saying that inheritance, though, is not going to go away. It is kept in heaven for us. Look at verse 5. It says, we who through our faith are, present tense, right now, this moment, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. That's a great 1-2 punch. Our faith and God's power, the gift of salvation, is shielded. It's protected. It's guarded. This gift is not alone. This gift is not left exposed. This gift is not vulnerable to the trials and tribulations of this world. It is shielded today, right here, right now, so that we can keep in this moment that living hope. It's a hope that is alive. It's a hope that is active right now. We know what God has done. We know what God has promised to do. We have faith in that, and so we have a living hope that pervades this day, in this moment, as we endure whatever life throws at us. And in all of this, Peter says, you and I, we greatly rejoice. God's mercy. God's mercy that has given us new birth, a living hope, an inheritance that stands. Mercy that shields us in the present as we live by faith, awaiting the day of sight. And so therefore, Peter says this, though you do not see him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Friends, let me ask us this morning, can we imagine how Peter's reminder here of this gift of salvation, of God's mercy. Can we imagine to these believers who are struggling with persecution and hardship and violence and discrimination and so much more, can we imagine how encouraging, how can, maybe we can say the words, joy-filling Peter's words must have been to them. That in the midst of all those trials, Peter urges them to remember the gift of God's mercy, past, future, present. This gift of salvation through God's Son, Jesus Christ. That God's gift of mercy in Jesus would fill them with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Friends, is it that hard to imagine? Maybe it's not that hard for us to imagine, right? You know, you and I this morning, I doubt very much that we are facing the edict of an emperor. And I doubt very much any of us are scared of the sword of a centurion today. But I would dare guess that if I had a chance to talk with each and every one of you after worship this morning, you all would agree with this, that life is hard. That there are times in this life that are tough. Yes, can we agree to that? I mean, all the different things, right? We can talk about all the different things from the diagnosis to the addiction, from the conniving coworker to the slacker student, both of whom with whom we have to work, from the chronic pain that we deal with each and every day to the longer than anticipated recovery, to the estranged parent-child connection, to the constant bickering, to the relationship that is falling apart, from the stress of never feeling like we have enough to provide for our family, to a different kind of stress that feels like we want to leave our job, but we have to stay in our job, so we feel stuck in that job. From the fact that there is no owner's manual for how to deal with teenagers and phones and social media and bullying, and yet there's also there's no manual to have the right words to say that would heal their hurting hearts. And we could go on and on and on, yes, but those are true. Life is hard. And yet we should also take this a step further, because it's beyond just the things that happen, because those things that happen to us over and over and over again, and pretty soon we get discouraged and we feel frustrated and we grow weary. Anybody ever said, I'm weary? And then we can name it, and it's okay to name it. Sometimes in those moments, our faith can begin to waver. We begin to feel like, are we able to go on? We feel so overwhelmed. And you add on top of that the harsh reality that we as brothers and sisters, we want to live this Christian faith, and yet we find so often the values and the morals of our faith are ridiculed in this public arena. And it's so hard for us then to live out loud our faith. And then on top of that, you just have the reality of overcast days, and you walk outside in Iowa and the wind is blowing and it hurts your face. Yes, and so when all those things come together, it feels like you're getting hit from every angle. The very last thing we have is joy. The very last thing we feel like having is joy. Joy of any kind, let alone inexpressible and glorious joy. I get it. Do you too? I believe that's why Peter's words here are so important for us today. On this third Sunday of Advent, but not just in Advent, but in every season of every day, his words are so important that there is a gift that God has given to us. And this gift extends beyond the here and now in these happenings. God's gift given through mercy is the joy that comes from Jesus. Joy that is not swayed by anything that happens to us in this world. Joy, Peter says, that is secure in Jesus Christ. Joy that is beyond this world. A joy that is giving us a new birth into a living hope, an inheritance that will never go away, an inheritance that is shielded, it's protected, it's guarded for us now until the fullness of our salvation is revealed. In this, Peter says, despite all the things that this world is going to throw at us, in this, Peter says, you and I greatly rejoice. Friends, this is the gift of salvation through God's Son, Jesus Christ. The one who's coming is what we celebrate in this Christmas season. And that is what brings us inexpressible and glorious joy. My friends, the heart of Christmas is this joy within us. Amen. Pray with me, please. God, you are the giver of all good gifts. And we celebrate today that in your mercy you have given to us the gift of joy. joy that is found in Jesus, joy that is beyond expression and brings you glory. And we pray that today and always we might be filled with this joy as we hold on to the gift of your salvation that you've freely given to us through Jesus. And God, we would even pray today that we would not just be filled with it, but in our actions, in our words, in our relationships, and in like places like in our homes and in our schools and in our places of work, in our neighbors, even on the road and in the stores. God, may we express this inexpressible and glorious joy. God, we are so grateful today for relationships that abound in this place. Especially today, we welcome new partners in ministry, JB and Phil and Sandy. We're thankful, God, for the community that you are continuing to shape together here and all who are part of the ministry of this place. We're thankful today as well for our children and for our youth who we declare boldly are not the future of the church. They are the church today. And we love how they are enfolded into the ministry life of the church, not just on this Sunday, but each week and each day. Lord, with the same breath, we also want to pray for one another. We ask that you would hear our prayer today for Randy and Chris as they mourn the loss of Chris's brother. Would you grant comfort and a peace that goes beyond understanding to them and upon their entire family? We also pray for the continued recovery from surgery for Lucinda's niece following that recent surgery she had. Lord, but also our prayers are for many others who we know and who we love who are dealing with health concerns, or they are continuing to endure treatments for cancer, who are maybe struggling with mental or emotional health, who are suffering from chronic pain or so much more. We talked about it feels like a lot in the season, but life is just a lot. And it's not just health, and there's so many other things that are swirling about. And so, God, we pray that you would bring, we pray for healing, but not just physical healing, God, that you would, as the great physician, bring healing to this world. That your shalom would reign. That there would be wholeness and completeness of all the right things in all the right amounts. May it be so, God. And God, in this Advent season that is sometimes so complicated, the mixture of longing and excitement, yearning and anticipation, Lord, would you hear our hearts today that you would, we'd ask that you'd please do a good work in our hearts. That you would draw each of us in this season closer to you. That you would indeed, I think I heard it said earlier, meet us right where we are. And you would open our hearts to receive the gift that you are giving, the gift of Jesus Christ. Draw each one of us into a deeper relationship with you as we experience all the more your love, your mercy, your grace in this season and always. God, would you capture our hearts anew this Christmas? We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, the gift of this season, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.